The following broadcast of Sioux Valley Voice was recorded earlier. You will not be able to call in during the next hour. You can listen to past episodes of Sioux Valley Voice online anytime at ktna.org. You're listening to KTNA 88.9 FM Talkeetna, streaming from KTNA.org. This is Sioux Valley Voice. I'm Philip Manning. Today, we're celebrating KTNA's 24th birthday, and we'll have voices from the past and present joining us to share memorable moments from the station's history. If you have a story or a memory to share, you can call in to 733-1200. If that line's busy, we have also opened up the secondary phone line, which is 733-1205, or you can send us an email to dj@ktna.org, or you can go to our Facebook page. So we've got a lot of different ways that you can become part of the show today. And today's show is very much focused around you out there listening and sharing some of the memorable experiences you've had with your community radio station over the years. So I do have something to get us started with this morning, and that is something from the archives. So in this undated edition of the DART Report, we hear from two voices who have passed on as Murray Nash interviews Ace Ebling about the history of competitive darts in Talkeetna.
This is the DART Report for games played last Tuesday, March 5th.
I have a special guest on the DART Report today, Mr. Ace Ebling. Welcome to the DART Report, Ace.
Thank you, Murray.
All right. Well, you told me the other day a little bit about the history of darts in Talkeetna. I wonder if you'd share that with our listeners here.
Okay. It was right after we got our log cabin built at the VFW. I brought a dartboard up from Anchorage and put it on the wall. And Doc Thompson and myself, as far as I know, played the first game of darts. This was back in about 1970. I think it was 1972 or 1973.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, the VFW used to have a couple of dart teams, and it was one of my favorite places to play.
Oh, yeah, we'll try to have one next year.
All right, great. You told me you played darts in England, back at the home of darting, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You want to maybe tell us a little bit about that?
That was back in 1953. They had a ceremony. They marched in very military-like. The front two people were carrying this velveteen case. Well, I set it on the table, and they all gathered around, and they uncovered this dartboard. Well, this dartboard was about 2 inches thick, the regular standard-sized dartboard. It was 2 inches thick, and it was made out of twisted pig gut.
Wow.
And there were no wires or nothing to... Of course, you could see the numbers. They were little pieces of dyed sinew.
Uh-huh.
And the lines were all sinew. There was no worry about your darts bouncing off the wires and so forth.
Yeah.
And this was really impressive. And this dartboard, by the way, was 200 years old.
Wow.
200 years old.
I wouldn't think pig gut would last that long.
Well, you know how these British, they like tradition and so forth. But, you know, when you pull a dart out of these twisted pig gut, it'll only leave a little hole. You don't even see it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. Well, that's how we're introduced to darts. Now, the darts they had, of course, weren't these plastic guided metal darts that we have. Of course, these had metal tips on them. But the darts were regular wood with feathers.
Yeah, there's a couple guys who throw those kind here.
Is that right?
Yeah, Earl from the Fairview's team. I forget his last name, but he throws those.
Well, these were the original darts, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Of course, I played quite a bit over in England. We used to bounce around between the regular army and the Royal Air Force. And, of course, our individuals there at the Air Force. It was really pretty nice. So I did bring that game back with me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Well, thanks a lot for being here today, Ace.
Okay, you're welcome, Mary, and we'll see you further up the creek.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye. Bye.
That's the DART Report for this week. My name is Murray Nash for KTNA Sports.
And again, we don't have a date on that edition of the DART Report with Murray Nash and Ace Ebling, but of course, the two former voices of the community who have unfortunately passed on. We do have, over the course of the years, KTNA's had a lot of locally produced shows, and some of which are still going strong, and some of which have gone by the wayside over the years. Perhaps one of the most memorable shows for our listeners who have been around and been listening to KTNA throughout its history was a sort of a variety sketch comedy show called Cheese Whiz. And in our archives, we've got a fair few clips from the old Cheese Whiz days, including this one. And so this one's for a car advertisement for a fictional car. And so we're going to play that for you. And I think we're actually at some point during the hour, hopefully expecting to hear from at least one of the co-hosts of Cheese Whiz. So for now, we're going to play you this clip from Cheese Whiz.
I've been raising longhorn pigs down here in Brownsville nearly all of my life. You know, most people like to go down south of the border to buy their automobiles, but we like our cars built right here in the U.S. of A. Well, you know, just over that hill right there, there's a whole lot of good people making real good cars. Why, my cousin Leroy works for Uranus. He drives one of them Sri Lankies.
No, 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 no. That would be Sri Lanka, the new standard in the luxury sedan.
Sri Lanka. The marriage of American know-how and precision Mexican engineering has made the Sri Lanka the sedan of choice for people like you.
Like me?
Yes, like you.
Like me?
And you.
Like me?
You too.
Like me?
Not you.
Oh.
With our fuel-deficient onboard, inboard, outboard Evinrude motor, you will glide down the road with the power of 80 camels at your fingertips.
Oh, 80 camels.
Some of the features that are standard in every Sri Lanka include rug burn resistant shag upholstery throughout, clap on, clap off interior lighting, opaque tinted windows, on demand shock absorption, thermostatically controlled Barry White surround sound, and the fully galvanized particle accelerator makes you feel like you're already there.
Sri Lanka. Experience Uranus from the inside. Uranus. Simple, to the point, and completely irrelevant.
And that was a clip from Cheese Whiz. And actually, let me take a look back here. We might actually have a date on that one. Oh, no, I don't see one, but I think actually a lot of the shows that we have archived here. Oh, no, here we go. Yeah, that was from August 29th of 1999. So a little bit of some more KTNA history for you. And if you'd like to share your story or memory of the last 24 years of KTNA, you can give us a call 733-1200 or 733-1205 if that line's busy, which it should not be at the moment. Or you can visit us at Facebook, or you can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, and we will get your story on the air. And again, I just spoke with one of the former hosts of Cheese Whiz, so hopefully we'll be hearing from them here in just a little bit. And let me check and see if we've got... if we've had any hits on the email or on our Facebook page. I don't see any at the moment, but I did just see the phone light ring. So hopefully we're going to get a call here in just a moment. And so if you have a story you want to add on, you can give us a call at 733-1205. And we'll get you in the queue as well. Or if you happen to be downtown, you can pop into the studio and say hi to us as well. And we have cake. So a little bit of incentive for you. And we do have a caller online. We have Kathleen on the line. So, Kathleen, are you there?
I am.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for those clips. Those are great. Good memories.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you have for us? Of course, Kathleen Fleming, I'm sure anybody who's been listening, a longtime host of Stardate Susitna, which I think you told me yesterday used to be Stardate Talkeetna.
Yeah, before we tried to get more all-inclusive.
Gotcha.
The first year or so was Stardate Talkeetna.
So what have you called in to share with us today?
Well, I've got a story from over a decade ago, and this is a heinous crime that I do have permission from the perpetrator to relay. So it takes place in the little log cabin across the street, the studio, before we moved into the big building. So for people who'd never been in that building, I just sort of wanted to set up the scene. You go through the front door, and then you enter a little bit of an office space, and you have to go through another store to get a door to get into the studio. So the studio was all sheetrocked in order to keep it clean and hopefully dust-free. You walk into the studio, and the whole entire right wall, the back wall, is floor-to-ceiling shelves with albums. Cabin Radio had gone dark, and so we got all of their albums. They donated it to us, so we had like thousands of albums. So the whole wall was all albums. Then you walk in and you go between the albums and a counter, around the counter to get to the hot seat where, you know, the DJ would sit. And then there's stacks of machinery and equipment and whatnot. So so I would be sitting there, and this is a story about a seasonal celebration program that is Pam Robinson's program. She brings in stacks of CDs and stacks of books, and hopefully people have listened to a seasonal celebration. We still do them off and on, but we would do them up to 8 times a year on the solstices and the equinoxes, which are essentially the midpoint of those seasons, and then on the cross quarter days between solstices and equinoxes, which are the first day of each season. And we would take over Ann Yadin's radio show on Sundays. I would do the news at noon, and then Ann Yadin's program that she did after she did the news on Sundays was musical tributaries. So Pam and I would take over the musical tributaries up to 8 times a year. And so cross-quarter days are still celebrated, Groundhog's Day, May Day, Halloween, and this was a seasonal celebration around Samhain, which is now celebrated as Halloween. So, you know, Pam's mic is hot most of the time because she's doing a lot of readings, and I'm messing with the volume of the music. And about halfway through the show, a little earth trembling starts. And so we're kind of looking at each other. And, you know, a lot of times these things just, you know, there's a couple little bits of movement and then it stops. So we kind of just look at each other and keep going. But then the rumbling does not stop. And we're looking at this stack of, I don't know how many pounds of albums above our heads. And Pam had just finished reading a poem by Mary Oliver, so her mic was live, and she said the F word. Mild-mannered Pam Robinson, never a bad word about anybody, says the F word right live over the air, and we decide to just leave the music, leave the music playing, and we go outside and decide, and the earthquake just keeps going and going, and we... It had been a mild October, so there was no snow on the ground. It's November 3rd. There's no leaves, but there's puddles all up and down 2nd Street and cars. And we're watching the puddles sloshing, and the cars are bouncing and moving back and forth. And after a couple of minutes or more, we went back into the studio, and and sort of talked about it a little bit, and ends up that that was the 7.9 earthquake on November 3rd, 2002, that had damaged the pipeline, ripped apart the Richardson Highway. Yeah, it ended up being the second strongest earthquake in the U.S. in over a century.
Right. So, only topped by the 64 quake.
Yeah, that was the strongest by many, many times stronger. But, yeah, so mild-mannered Pam Robinson said the F word.
Well,
we escaped death and we escaped the FCC.
Escaped the FCC. Well, I know you left us a tape yesterday, and I was able to pull the audio from it with the specific word in question bleeped, so that we won't get in trouble with the FCC this time. As I look at the general manager through the window here, so this is, and it starts with the poem that Pam is reading, which I believe is called "The Vulture." So we'll go ahead and play that for you right here.
Okay, thanks.
Vultures,
Joel.
Like large, dark, lazy butterflies, they sweep over the glades looking for death, to eat it, to make it vanish. To make it part of the miracle, resurrection. No one knows how many they are who daily minister so to the grassy miles. No one counts how many bodies they discover and descend to, demonstrating each time the earth's appetite, the unending waterfalls of change. No one, moreover, wants to ponder it, how it will be to feel the blood cool, shapeliness dissolve. Locked into the blaze of our own bodies, we watch them wheeling and drifting. We honor them and we loathe them. However wise the doctrine, however magnificent the cycles, however ultimately sweet the huddle of death to fuel those powerful wings. By Mary Oliver. Ooh, rock and roll.
And then so here we just go to some music for a while. I guess this is the moment where y'all decide it's time to get out of Dodge.
Right, we just left the music playing, played cuts that we were not intending, and I think after we came back in, we talked about whether or not Amanda was going to be on it, and you know, let the KTNA listening audience know what the magnitude was in epicenter. And
right.
Whatnot,
so. And well, I've got that clip as well, and we'll go ahead and play that. And thanks so much for calling in. And so that opens up that line. If anybody else wants to call in, 733-1200. And so here is after Kathleen and Pam were able to come back inside the building after the shaking stops. And this is what listeners heard.
Okay, I imagine not many of you missed that one. In fact, here we go again.
We might go outside, but this time I'll turn your mic
down.
Off.
Yes, my apologies for that last one there.
Yeah.
Amanda's over in the office right now. She'll be keeping tabs on this. We'll let you know more.
She said that they give a report in about 20 minutes after the occurrence of an earthquake. So we'll update you when
so
we get it.
So secure your homes. And Roger says the pumpkins didn't even fall off the railing I'd set them on. So that was not too bad. But it was sure interesting being outside watching things weaving around.
Hearing people commenting up and down Second Street.
So we've heard a little bit more of this CD than we planned on as we sort of.
And so that was, again, I believe Kathleen said that was November 3rd of 2002, otherwise known as the 2002 Denali earthquake, which was at 1:12 local time. This is from Wikipedia, with an epicenter 66 kilometers east-southeast of Denali National Park, which, if you're familiar with the geography of Alaska, is pretty darn close to here. So big earthquake with some locals definitely felt that one. But before my time in the area, we do have another caller on the line. So if you want to join us, you can try giving us a call, 733-1205. And I think we've got that line worked out now, hopefully. So I believe we have the promised co-host of Cheese Whiz on the line. Tony, are you there?
Yes. In fact, I am right here.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Tony.
Sure.
I don't know if you're streaming. Well, we'll tell the folks where you're at right now.
Well, right now, I am on the back porch of our old family home just outside of Philadelphia.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been here since the Christmas holidays.
So able to be outside then. It's not 30 below like it is here.
No, actually, we were having a bit of a mild streak here. I think it's going to be up in the 50s this week.
Oh, how nice for you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're streaming, but we played a clip from Cheese Whiz just before Kathleen called in. It was the Sri Lanka car ad. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I was listening. As a side note, there's quite an echo happening.
Oh, okay. On your end?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate because I'm not getting it. Maybe if we drop the line in the other room, Corrine, maybe that'll help. So yeah, we'll see.
Let's see how that sounds. Okay. I still have the echo.
Hmm.
I have to try to ignore my own echo.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Well, the good news is it's not coming through on the air. So.
Oh, good.
So tell us a little bit about Cheese Whiz. Who all was involved with that, and when and how did it get started?
Oh boy, let's see. I believe it was really totally accidental in a way. Somebody had a radio program in the evenings. I think it was on a weekend, and I think at the time Chris Houlette was maybe filling in for this person. I can't remember whose show it was. So Chris was in the studio one night, so we decided to go over there and kind of hang out with him. And we were like, well, let's all sort of pitch in and see what we can do. And we decided to just, off the top of our heads, play absolutely the worst music we could find in the radio station. So while Chris was on the air, I think it might have been me and Loudon Wilson. We were like scouring through albums and coming up with like the Jane Fonda Workout album, and we found a couple of sort of anti-propaganda albums from like back in the 50s, just the weirdest stuff we could come up with. And we would just like throw these things on the air like unannounced, just for to see what kind of reactions we could get from anybody. And we just had so much fun, we decided we were going to try and do something similar again. And eventually it just kind of evolved into, I guess, to the point where we had more people wanting to participate. And then, you know, it was like at one point it was Stuart Carnegie and Loudon Wilson, Chris Ouellette, me. I know Jack Fickle was in there. We even had like special guests like Becky Peterson, and who else showed up? There were a few other people too that were involved in, off and on.
So you had quite the somewhat rotating cast of characters for that.
Yeah, we had like a steady three or four people, and then other people would kind of jump in and out. And it made for really interesting material, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. And so the next question, I guess, is about that. I mean, did you have like a primary sketch writer for that, or did everybody kind of chip in ideas, or how did that all work?
Well, everybody kind of chipped in. I think it was kind of like based on the idea of like who was panicking the least at the moment when the mic was going to go live. Because we had, from week to week, we had absolutely no clue what we were going to do.
Okay.
So we would all just kind of convene and turn the mic on. You know, it would be a hot mic, and then one of us would just start talking. We'd do a little weather. And I think even that evolved to the point where I would come on the air and actually do a fake weather report.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, so it was pretty interesting. And really, my biggest motivation was trying to make Loudon laugh. I think that if I achieved that in the course of my skit, then I knew I was successful. So
what it sounds like you're saying, that a lot of it was kind of improvised then.
Oh, I think it all was improvised.
Oh, wow. That's even more impressive.
I know Loudon was always kind of pushing to have some kind of structure. But
didn't take?
Oh, man. Like he... if anything was ever structured, it was usually on his part, where he maybe would come in with kind of like a rough outline or an idea of something. But most of the time, Stu would just, you know, bring up the volume control on the mic, and he would just start to talk.
Just start going.
I never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. And whatever came out of his mouth, we would just jump in and say, okay, hang on, we're going for it.
Wow.
And some of them were just so, some of them were like, how to describe it, like surreal almost, you know, because we had sound effects. And
right, I've heard some.
Yeah, I had standby sound effects CDs and sometimes some weird music soundtracks and things I would throw in. So it was pretty exciting in that respect.
That's great. So now I'm getting the echo.
and there were also evolved a number of characters that these characters kind of came out of nowhere, but then we noticed that they kept reappearing.
Okay.
So as they would reappear, they would kind of get stronger and stronger, and then we would just kind of work them in every week. And I know Stuart came up with a couple. One of them was his Swami, which is really funny. He had
he could do
a great Indian accent, so the Swami was one of the regulars.
Right. Well, actually, you know, I've got a clip of it's titled "The Evening Mantra," and so we can play that real quick. And I've been now joined in the studio by Holly Stinson, who is catching her breath. She's laughing so hard at the moment. I think with
Swami.
Well, with the Swami.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So we're gonna take a listen, and then so thank you so much for calling in, Tony. Tony Crescetto, one of the regular co-hosts of Cheese Whiz back in the day. So any chance, Tony, if you're coming back up to this area, first of all, I think a lot of people want to know, are you coming back?
Yeah. And, you know, the reason why we've been gone is because Julie had just had a great gig teaching some college courses in Colorado. But anyway, once she's done with the spring semester in probably late May, we're planning on being back in Talkeetna for at least the summer. So
great. So any chance of reviving Cheese Whiz?
Well, we'll see what we can do.
I mean, Stuart's not here, and Loudon's not in town anymore, but I bet we could rustle up some people for you.
I happen to
know some improvisers.
Good. Yeah, we could give it a shot.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tony. We're going to let you go, and then we'll play this clip from Cheese Whiz. This is the Evening Mantra, and it's a very good example of that sort of improvised nature that Tony Crescetto was just filling us in on. So I'm going to go ahead and release the line here. So, and after this, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. So if you want to call in and join in the second half of the show, the number is 733-1200, and we'll get you on in probably 6 or 7 minutes. So here is Cheese Whiz again.
And now, once again, it's time for an evening's meditation with your host, Swami Gudapadra.
Hello and welcome. I am Swami Gudapadra. I am very, very happy to be here tonight for Evening Mantra. Everybody sit and relax and lift it and open your mind. Empty your mind. atmospheric absorption.
Atmospheric absorption.
High fidelity.
High fidelity.
Diligence and perseverance.
Diligence and perseverance.
Radiation.
Radiation.
Reactance factor.
Reactance factor.
All right, so we're going to go ahead and cut that piece off there. There's about another minute and a half of pretty much the exact same thing with increasingly absurd improvised call and responses there for a guided mantra meditation. So it's the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. I mentioned it earlier, but I'm joined now in the studio by Holly Stinson. Thank you so much for coming in, Holly.
You're welcome, Philip.
And you've done a whole lot of stuff for us over the years here at KTNA. So it was great for you to be able to come in and be part of this special Sioux Valley Voice and share some stories with us. So we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to refill my coffee mug and then we'll be back. And so, folks, if you want to join in on the second half hour, then we're going to call 733-1200. If that line's busy, you can call 1205. You can email us at dj@ktna.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page. And we did get a request for some if we had any of Mike Fisher's stories about biking through Poland. And we might somewhere. One of the clips I was playing there, I tried to find one and I couldn't. But I'll give that another shot and see if we can get something queued up there. Mike Fisher, of course, another former voice of KTNA who has unfortunately passed on from us. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more Sioux Valley Voice. And we're back. You're listening to Sioux Valley Voice. And this week we're having a special birthday celebration and inviting our listeners and former and current volunteers and staff to share some of their stories over the last 24 years of KTNA. And if you want to do that, the number to call is 733-1200. Shoot us an email, dj@ktna.org. We've also got a Facebook post up if you want to comment on that with something. So we've got a lot of different ways you can get a hold of us.
No excuse for contacting KTNA.
Or you can come down to the studio, as Holly Stinson has done. And I tried to entice people earlier by saying we do have birthday cake.
We have birthday cake.
There's birthday cake,
yes.
Here at the station. So,
well, I could assure you, if I didn't have the luxury of a heated garage these days, I would have called in rather than driven.
Well,
in.
Yeah, and I don't blame people. It's, yeah. It's still here. The thermometer says 26.9 below, and that's right up next to the building. So there's probably some residual heat off the building on that. So Holly, you've come in. Do you have what story do you have
well,
to share with us today?
I have a story, but first two quick comments.
Okay.
On the earlier callers, I heard Kathleen talking about Pam Robinson doing the F-bomb during that. It's interesting, a coinkydink, as I like to call it, that she told that story because during that very earthquake, I was out at my office out when it was out on Jubilee. And
okay.
Mike Lindgren, of all people, who was working at KTNA then,
right.
He was out in the backyard cutting trees with a chainsaw. And when that started, you know, everything stopped and you just ran outside. And he's standing there with his chainsaw, like with his mouth hanging open, just looking up. And those trees are just, they're doing things that trees don't normally do.
It's hard
do.
To imagine a worse situation you'd want to be in than standing in the middle of a bunch of trees holding a chainsaw
yeah.
during a magnitude 7.9 earthquake.
It was amazing. The trees almost touched the ground. The tops.
No kidding.
They were waving like, it's like trees can't do that. They're straight. They're tall. You know, they might bend a little.
Bend, don't break.
But they were like doing yoga poses. Anyhow, and then a comment on, just a quick comment on Cheese Whiz and
yeah.
Tony Crocetto and the rest
up.
Of them. Oh, God. I just hear the two words, Cheese Whiz, I just start belly laughing. Just hearing them. The first time I heard it. It was a Sunday night when they were on at 9 o'clock, I think.
Okay.
8 or 9 o'clock at night. So usually I didn't have it on, but I'm listening and I'm like, who are these guys? I mean, I didn't even know what I was listening to. It was so bizarre. Anyhow, I digress. I came in to tell you about the most discombobulated newscast ever.
Okay. I might be able to give you a run for your money on this.
I was just going to say, I bet there are people listening or here in the studio, volunteers, staff, former volunteers, who may be in the running for that. And certainly, I am not claiming the most. I'm just saying, in my mind, yeah. this is the most discombobulated. So we were back in the log cabin studio across the street, and then we were taking over this building and setting up the studio in here. And mm-hmm. so I came in on a Friday at noon to do the newscast. And they said, oh, it's all set up. You know, Michael Vaughn was the engineer here at the time. And without him, KTNA probably wouldn't have ever been on the air. Mm-hmm. But he was setting it all up in here, as you see it sort of now, except without the computer.
Sure.
And I think we had a computer of sorts, and you read the weather forecast from
okay.
it. But we still had a news book that had all the news and announcements and Denali Echoes and all that. So we looked at the computer for weather. Otherwise, we looked at the book. And so it was like an exciting day. And I was probably, a lot of people were excited about the new studio. Some people were sad. They don't like change. But I personally was so excited to think that the studio would be just a few feet away in an interior space from a bathroom instead of using the little outhouse that
sure.
was back where that building is now, that mm-hmm. little leaning outhouse, and you had to put a long song on and then run out there and try to hold the door shut because if in the summer the leaves hid you from sort of the other businesses, uh-huh. but in the winter it didn't. So I was excited. So I got to be the first newscaster
oh boy.
At the new studio. Now, it wasn't permanent. It was sort of temporary, but
right.
and guess what? It went fine. You would think my story would be about the first newscast, but it went fine. I mean, I set up. I'm a creature of habit, so it was a little out of sorts, but it went fine. But the next week
okay.
on Friday, I came in and, let's do it from the new studio again. Why not? Everything else was still going through the old cabin studio.
Okay.
But it's like, well, you did it last week, you know, and so staff suggested that I do it again. And I'm like, oh, great. I got this dialed in now. I can do it. So I get all set up. And I'm a creature of habit. So I get my little routine. I mm-hmm. have this on the left side, this on the right side. The CD is in this one, but, you know, all set up. And I go on air and I start broadcasting. And it's like nothing's going out over the air. It's
oh,
like
no.
silent. I'm talking to myself in the studio. And, you know, it only takes a minute. Staff come flying in the door. You're not on air. You're not on air. So we didn't know what happened. But in the middle of the newscast then, we have to pick everything up, put on my shoes, rush across the street. And as I mentioned, then you have no computer over there for the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, I forget who was here. But anyhow, you have to go onto that old computer over there and try to print out on the little line printer the weather forecast, call the airport to get the correct temperature. It was the most discombobulated. And it turns out that Michael Vaughn had, I can't tell you the technical stuff,
mm-hmm.
and listeners wouldn't care either, and I don't care. It was something about the studio to transmitter link or something like that.
Okay, it's probably still.
Yeah, and so he, as all good nerdy engineers tend to do, they like to sneak in the nighttime to do their work, and they don't leave notes for staff. So I'm sure there's some listeners out there who can understand that, where they don't like to show up and work during the day when they have to put up with other people.
My brother's an engineer. I get it.
They go with unlimited coffee, midnight runs, and so that's what had happened. He had come in and somehow disconnected the thing on purpose, but nobody told staff, nobody told Holly, so I got to have what I would call the most discombobulated newscast ever.
You've probably got me beat.
Anyhow, and that's all I have. Oh, and I remember one other quick memory. Do we have
time?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, we have time. Well, was on our 10th anniversary, and that was over in the Log Cabin studio, and I was doing the Patchwork Hour, which I've been doing now for 17 years, I think.
Okay.
Going on 18 years. You'd think I'd get tired of it, but I enjoy it, so why not? I'm a creature of habit. So Mike Lindgren was over there and had found some old tapes, and I think at the time they actually were still tapes, cassette tapes.
Okay.
And we were running, airing some of the first day on air, and the people were calling in, like, how far away can you hear the signal? And John Neal called in from Tekosha Mountain Lodge, said, oh, we could hear you out here. So we're listening to this, and this was the 10th anniversary, so it would have been 2003. And guess who calls in? John Neal. And he says, I can still hear you. I'm still at Tekosha Mountain Lodge. So that was a fun memory of an earlier anniversary celebration, for sure.
Okay.
And that's all I have. And so it's been a fun run at KTNA, and I can't imagine life without a local radio station to connect the community together. And so I am about talked out, but I know Philip is doing something magic there with his computer.
I'm working on it.
He's trying to do 10 things at once. So I can.
It's gonna take me a minute, and I don't think we're gonna be able to play this whole file because it's just too long. But I did found a file with Mike Fisher's voice on it. Unfortunately, it's going to take a minute to transfer here.
Yeah.
So I will use this opportunity to remind everyone, we do still have time if people want to call in, 733-1200. You can send us an email, dj@ktna.org, or you can visit us on Facebook and leave your memory or story there. Probably, unless you're already downtown, you might not have time to get into the studio to come in and actually sit in here with us. But you can stop by. We still have plenty of cake left, and the cake, by the way, provided by Cubby's Marketplace. So thank you to Cubby's for our lovely and delicious birthday cake.
It's white
cake with cream cheese frosting and custard and strawberries and
yum. Yeah. I might have to roll back to 2016 and go ahead and have some sweets. I wasn't going to eat them in 2017, but I have a bad memory. I don't know what day it is.
What day is it anyway?
And I would think that second only to KTNA would be a life-changing entity in the Susitna Valley would be Cubby's Marketplace.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
I mean,
I can't imagine living here without it.
Well, it was bleak, but I and several people I know still have that mantra, like, you load up, you know, you're ready for the next big earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you don't need to buy 18 cans of this or that. You've got Cubby's.
Right,
you know?
it's right there. So, yeah, and you can have things like, you know, produce.
Fresh produce.
Fresh produce.
I started 1 year doing salads for dinner, and I realized about mid-February, it's like, you know what? I couldn't have done this without Cubby's being open. It was, I think, the second year they were open. It's like I couldn't have salads for dinner unless I was driving to the Lower Valley twice a week.
Right.
At least once a week, anyhow.
So,
okay.
All right, we're going to give this a shot. Hopefully, I don't imagine there's any unsuitable language on this particular clip, but we're just going to play a couple minutes of it. It's the People's Forum, which doesn't exist anymore, but this one, the name here, It's bread baking with Kathy Mallory and Mike Fisher. So let's see. Hopefully this works. I think I've got it queued up properly. So let's give it a whirl here. And the number is still 733-1200 if you want to call in and share your story. And we should be coming into this clip any second now. Here we go.
Growing up at the time, we grew up on white bread. And then something happened in the late 70s, and suddenly we were having Roman meal bread. Things started getting really interesting in America. But when I went overseas to Europe, I discovered something very different, and I lived in a home where all the bread was made from flour right on the board. So when I returned to the U.S., at the time, we still didn't have many good bakeries, at least in the section of the country where I lived in the Midwest. So I had to figure out how to make bread myself. And from there, I've been baking and have almost rarely, if ever, purchased from a bakery. Good bakeries started to appear in the mid to late 80s. And from there, I would buy bread if I wanted to just figure out how they made it so I could make it. And so I have baked exclusively for myself, as well as baked commercially in Montana and at hunting camps, and last year here in Talkeetna at the Roadhouse.
All right. So you're both well-versed in the area of bread building, which is a complicated process, as many people know. I'd like to start with sourdough. Now, can we start with a definition of sourdough, maybe a little history on sourdough? Mike, why don't you start us out?
Yes, what I know about that is that the sourdough is a natural plant that probably exists everywhere in the atmosphere, but it varies from region to region. And I think the proper name for the seed of the sourdough that exists, what people used to call spook yeast, is actually spores. And you can get a sourdough to grow practically anywhere. It's sort of like, you might say, an indoor garden. There's not much of a mystery to it. People talk at length about 100-year-old starters and things that were brought over from Europe, but I think a lot of that is overstated. People, in order to sell a book, have to convince you that there's some sort of a great mystique there, and that tends to intimidate a lot of people and say, oh, you have to have magic hands and a degree in chemistry to work with sourdough, but my observation has been that it's actually, within its limitations, simpler, more straightforward, and probably more reliable, and I think better for you than commercial yeast. Up until a few years ago, like maybe 4 years ago, I was using mostly commercial yeast, just the stuff you buy in the store. And then I got an opportunity to spend some time with some people who never used commercial yeast, and their breads were just exceeded anything I had ever seen before. And so I thought, well, I'm probably missing something here. And so I learned from them. And since that time, I seldom or almost never use commercial yeast, and I've had good baking results without it. And to elaborate a little bit, there's two kinds of recipes that you will find. Most of the contemporary recipes in the paper want you to have the sourdough taste, but they want what they perceive to be the reliability of commercial yeast, and so they use the two together. And that's okay, but real hardcore purists wouldn't consider doing that. They would just consider using natural yeast and accepting what you might call varied and sometimes unpredictable results. But by saying that, I don't mean that you're going to have a failure. Just the bread will rise in different ways and have different flavors depending on the mood that the leaven is in.
Let's talk about that, different flavors and depending on what mood the leaven is in, and also...
And so that was an excerpt from the People's Forum, Bread Baking, with Kathy Mallory and Mike Fisher. It's not dated, so I don't know when exactly that originally aired, but it's, you know, one of those things that we have. A few years ago, we were able to digitize a lot of our archives here at KTNA, and some things are lost, unfortunately. I know the bulk of the Cheese Whiz recordings, I believe Tony said those were lost in the 2012 flood, unfortunately. But we do still have some. Cheese Whiz, I think we have the show that they actually won an award for, which was This American Cheese. And if you ever come into the studio or into the station, as you come in the door on the left side, there are the Goldie Awards from the Alaska Broadcasters Association. And there is one there for that specific show of Cheese Whiz, This American Cheese. And so we're able to, it's nice for us to be able to have those things so that we can, you know, listen and laugh in the case of Cheese Whiz, or in the case of, you know, the clips here we've got with Mike Fisher, or earlier with Murray Nash and Ace Ebling, for those folks who have passed on and who have left us, to be able to still hear their voice from time to time, I think is a really special thing that we're able to do here at KTNA. So let's see, we've got just a little bit more time. If you want to call in, 733-1200, email us dj@ktna.org, or leave a comment on our Facebook post and on KTNA's Facebook page. And so in the meantime, I'll go ahead and my history with KTNA personally has been relatively short. I've been with the station for, let's see, 3 years, 7 months, and 13 days as of today, but who's counting? So, you know, and that's in my current capacity. I've actually been involved with the station for about a year or so longer than that. And I started off as a stringer reporter and just did stories here and there. I was my actual job at the time was I was working over at the airport for Talkeetna Air Taxi with the primary function of entertaining passengers when their flights were delayed due to weather or mechanical or whatever reason that flights inevitably get delayed at the Talkeetna State Airport in the busy summer season. And so I was doing stories here and there. I remember when my first story got onto APRN it was actually kind of a sad event, the first fatal grizzly bear mauling in Denali National Park. But the one that really sticks out to me is the 2012 flood that we mentioned just a few minutes ago. And that was when I decided that this was what I wanted to do. And of course, those of you who were here in September of 2012 will remember that flood very keenly, I'm sure, especially if you lived in downtown or East Talkeetna. There were evacuations happening, and I had to talk my way past a park ranger and a state trooper in order to get down the hill in order to come into the station and help out with some of the reporting over the course of that weekend. And that made a really big impression on me and really kind of cemented the idea and the importance of local radio, community radio in particular. You know, growing up in Texas, I was not a big public radio listener. I listened to the radio plenty, but not much to public radio. And moving up here really changed that for me in a lot of different ways and for a lot of different reasons. But that weekend and you know, being able to help provide that link to people who had to leave their homes, that, you know, this is whether or not they were going to come back and find their home intact, to be able to be the person providing that information was very special and helped me feel like I was contributing something in the midst of a disaster that can frankly leave you feeling pretty helpless. So I want to thank everybody who's supported me over the years, or not, that I've been working here at KTNA, and hopefully we'll have many more. And so And we've got Corrine Smith coming into the studio, our general manager and former volunteer. I saw you through the window there smiling at a couple of the historical references, the outhouse at the old studio across the street and a couple other things. So tell us about your history with KTNA.
Yeah, so I first came to Talkeetna in July 95, and soon after I got here, I was unemployed and had a lot of time on my hands and discovered KTNA and spent a lot of time listening just at home and finding out about Talkeetna and the area, and decided I'd come down and volunteer, and I thought I was volunteering to do office work. And Deb introduced me to Loudon, who was training volunteers at that time, and before I knew it, I was reading news and doing a music show.
Right.
Holly was talking about her news disasters.
Okay.
The one I remember is being over in the little cabin, and I'd had a cold, but I was feeling better, and I thought I was fine. And I got about halfway through the newscast and couldn't talk and had
no
voice. And so put on a long song and put my shoes on, ran across the street, and told the staff or hand signaled to them, I can't talk. And somebody came running back over with me and picked up the rest of the news broadcast that day.
It can relate somewhat to that. I've had a few newscasts and even a Sioux Valley Voice or two where I've had virtually no voice, but you know, it's having done a lot of theater stuff in the past, it's kind of that the show must go on mentality. And so I'm sure sometimes it sounds like I'm dying of plague.
Right.
But yeah, I tend not, if I'm actually running a fever, I won't come into the studio because I don't want everybody to get it. It's one of those things. This is one of those contained environments. I mean, we call it the fishbowl for a variety of reasons. The windows kind of, surrounding half of the room here, and it is a kind of a tiny space. And so if someone is sick in here, everybody who comes in here has a pretty good chance of getting sick.
I noticed that somebody brought in some disinfectant wipes recently. Must have been when there was a illness going around.
Yeah, no, and that's definitely a good idea. Just kind of wipe down the keyboard whenever you come in. So yeah, we don't begrudge folks who don't come in because they're sick, for sure. So
we appreciate that, actually.
Yeah, we very much, because I like not being sick, and I'm in this studio a lot. So, okay, well, we've got just a couple minutes left. Probably not enough time to take a call anymore. So as you're thinking back over the years, what shows or programs or local stuff that we've done over the years kind of stick out to you?
Well, I'm thinking back to 95 and 96 when I first came, and some of the shows that we don't have anymore, and some, you know, key people in KTNA's past, like Emily Spires and Granny's Radio Recipes. That was a show that was kind of staple at that time, and Emily would play a lot of old-timey music and share some recipes that really were from her family. And,
nice.
And yeah, that was a really fun show.
We have some of those in the archive, I believe.
Yeah, those would be fun to play. Greta Perkins at that time had a show called Serendipity. Mm. And I think of that show, and then later on, Greta used to do a lot of Sense of Place. I don't think it was part of Susitna Ryder's voice at that time. I think it had
Susitna Ryder's voice is relatively new.
Yeah, it was a sort of a previous incarnation of another show sort of like that. And of course Cheese Whiz back then. Those are sort of some of the ones that really stand out in my memory.
We do have, I just got this one from Tony Crescetto via Facebook. He says, a quick memory, Loudon Wilson used to do the Second Street Traffic Report as a regular feature of his shows, and he would literally just look out the window and report on whoever was walking or riding their bike by. And Tony says, on a few occasions, he and Julia would jump into their Subaru, wait for just the right moment, and drive down Second Street and do donuts or wear crazy headgear and gesture wildly while listening to the radio to see how he would report on what he had just seen. So another one of the little quirks that you can get with community radio.
Do we have 30 seconds?
Yes.
You're almost out. I was going to say, I also appreciate you played the dart. You played the Dart Report, because when I back then I actually waitressed at the Latitude on Dart Night, and so saw a lot of Murray and knew what was happening. Had the inside track on what was happening in the Dart League, so it was always fun to hear the Dart Report then on the radio, and
nice.
Murray's take on it. And just to mention, he wrote the theme music for that show.
Not
wrote
surprising.
And played, and, yeah. And so that certainly was another standout, and it was great to hear that today.
All right. Well, great. Thanks, Corrine, for coming in and sharing some of your memories as well. That's just about all the time we've got for today on Sioux Valley Voice. I'd like to thank everyone who called in or came into the studio to share their memories over the last 24 years. If you didn't get a chance to call in, you can still share your stories with us on the KTNA Facebook page. If you missed part of the show or want to listen again, Sioux Valley Voice will rebroadcast at 8 tonight, or you can listen online anytime at ktna.org.